a long weekend of sports. We have a World Series. We've got another week of you rolling your eyes already. We have another week of college football and almost a full week of NFL football.
One new pitches and catches report.
In the books. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Doing all right. It was a very good weekend.
It was a horrible damn weekend.
The weather was beautiful
around here. That was about it.
Oh, my goodness.
College football stinks. As far as my team, baseball stinks.
Yeah.
As far as my team, other than that, no reason to live.
Oh, come on.
Zero.
Three straight boat days on October.
I saw the pictures, man.
20th, 21st, and 22nd. Three straight days. Out to the beach, out fishing one morning. It was just tremendous. Everything was great.
Great shots. A little video you posted.
I tell you, man.
I don't know how I figured it out. I think it was on Instagram.
That's right.
Yeah. How do you share those things? You can't share them. It's not like Twitter. You can share it.
Yeah. Retweet, you mean?
Yeah. Instagram?
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Right. I don't do any of that.
But
yeah. Okay. It was beautiful, though. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. I decided to detach my weekend from sports and all of that stuff and just, take that as what it was.
Yeah.
And take the beautiful weather and everything else as it was.
Go get your mind right.
I wasn't going to let the sports or anything else that was happening around me affect the great weekend. It was a wonderful weekend.
Oh, lucky you.
Wonderful.
Lucky you.
And, well, of course, I wasn't a Yankees fan or a...
Why you got to bring that up, man?
Or a Longhorn fan.
Why you have to bring that up, too?
Hey, at least the Cowboys blew out the 49ers.
Yeah, you need to quit picking against them.
Oh, terrible week of pick. I think I went 1-5.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm happy again.
You gained a couple of games. I mean,
sweet.
I think you went 3-3. I went 1-5. Brutal.
3-3.
Disgusting.
That sucks. And you were right. I need to quit picking the Giants.
You can't get them right. Either way.
They can't get right.
Well, you can't get them right, though. You pick against them. They cover. You pick them. They don't.
Go Giants.
You can't get them right.
What is wrong with that football team?
Man.
They found themselves, at least on the defensive side of the ball.
Man,
no.
I tell you. All right. So last night you had a Super Bowl rematch. And the Atlanta Falcons are not themselves. The New England Patriots are rounding back into themselves once again, but the Atlanta Falcons are not themselves, and they don't have injuries to use that as an excuse any longer. And this Super Bowl loser hangover thing is a real thing. It seems to happen every single year, and back-to-back years now. We'll see where the Falcons end up at the end of the year, but...
Doesn't happen to the Patriots.
No, but they don't lose Super Bowls, so generally, right? I'm talking about Super Bowl loser hangovers.
Gotcha.
So, they have. They lost a couple to the Giants, of course. But I have to go back and see what they did in 08 and then 12, but they didn't win Super Bowls after that, certainly. But if you look at the Carolina Panthers, after they lost to the Broncos, came back last year, terrible. You look at what the Falcons are doing so far now, you can't really blame them for going up to Foxborough and losing that game. But what you can look at is this offense now, with Julio Jones is not hurt, Mohamed Sanu comes back, he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they don't score a touchdown until about, 5 minutes left, 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're getting shut out. And this Patriots defense that's playing a hell of a lot better still shouldn't be shutting out that Atlanta Falcons offense that was so damn good last year.
Yeah, I would agree.
So what is it is the question. And the fog only rolled in the third quarter last night. Couldn't blame the whole thing on the fog, which was an amazing thing to watch on TV. And they used that camera angle, that hanging wire camera angle thing. They used that, which was pretty cool because you couldn't use the normal camera. But is it Steve Sarkisian because Mike Shanahan's no longer there? Is it the Super Bowl hangover? Is it teams that figured
Kyle
them
Shanahan.
Out? What'd I say, Mike?
Mike, yeah.
Kyle Shanahan. All that stuff. I mean, what could it possibly be? Because the Falcons should be running away with the NFC with the talent that they have.
Well, heading into the fourth quarter, it's been five straight quarters where they were held scoreless, as you were just alluding to. And a lot of people are pointing the finger at Steve Sarkisian. I don't know whether or not he has a nice feel for his offensive ammunition over there. But I know this, they're not executing. And I know Matt Ryan missed a couple of throws. I know defensively they were on the field way too long, and you can't have inopportune penalties like Adrian Claiborne. You get a picks on Brady in the end zone, and he gets a roughing the passer call that allows the drive to continue, and they ultimately score a touchdown. You can't have those things. You're off the field at that point. You can't be stupid. So I think it's a collection of errors by everyone involved, from the offense to the defense. And then you got Dan Quinn. The first time he went for it on fourth down, I said, okay, this is I think he was trying to send a message to his football team there. In the first quarter, you go for it, 4th-and-7, and Matt Ryan's able to pick it up with his legs. Now, the next time, near halftime, okay, your defense is winded, dude. Your offense hasn't done a damn thing. You're right there on your own 49. I'm not going for it there. You're down 10-0 at the point. I'm not going for that. I'm punting. And then let's go to halftime. Let's regroup and come back. We're down 10-0 at the most. And
frustration.
Yeah.
Frustration.
Well, I just thought that was a backup. So to my point about, you know, this confluence of events and decision-making and penalties and not executing on offense, all that leads you to what you had last night.
Yeah, and I think that the Atlanta Falcons, who, and we've talked about this NFC and how it's up for anybody at this point. The Atlanta Falcons still has some time to turn it around, but I mean, this is now, you know, week after week after week where this offense is not showing up, and some of the losses that they've had, going to Foxborough was definitely no automatic win on the schedule, but you know, the Dolphins and the Bills at home for the Falcons should be wins for them with the way that they've played. So I mean, I guess it's tough for me to say that a coordinator change is going to neuter this team and this offense as much as it's had. But everything else remains the same. I mean, maybe attitude of a team. It is a trend in the NFL when a team comes back after a loss in the Super Bowl, especially the one that they had, where maybe the motivation isn't there as much. But if anything, shouldn't it give you a chip on the shoulder? And maybe they think, well, it doesn't matter until we get to the playoffs, so let's just sort of sleepwalk through the regular season. But you know, and maybe it's all about the team and the offense and them not being as comfortable with Sarkisian. You know, maybe it is that. But they've still got an opportunity at 3-3 to do some things, because, as we said yesterday, we'll see the team that's supposedly the best in the NFC tonight, in the Philadelphia Eagles, take on the Washington Redskins. But you got the Rams at 5-2. Mm-hmm. You've got the Vikings at 5-2. You got the Seahawks, who of course are always there at 4-2. But it's not like there's a ton of teams that you really believe in right now at this point in the season in the NFC that you're saying, well, that team's definitely a Super Bowl caliber team.
Well, I looked at that Seattle defense, and I thought they'd take a hit, especially with Cliff Averill being out, a guy who's coming off his best season possibly, especially in terms of sacks, a year ago, and now he's out indefinitely with the injury. He's got nerve injury, nerve issues in his hand, his arm. Who knows if he comes back? But they look like the Legion of Boom from a couple years ago, where they shut down the Giants. Now we've seen the Giants not play so well on the offensive side of the ball, but look like they figured something out going up against that vaunted Denver Broncos defense, and we'll get to Denver after they were shut out. Way to go, Anthony Lynn! He should keep that gray, man. But they look great, and I don't know if this is still the same explosive offense. I know it's not. Eddie Lacy, I had to take a double look, man, when I saw number 27 out there. Who was 27? I didn't look like the fat, pudgy, frumpy Eddie Lacy. But still, I'm not a believer in their running game on a consistent basis. But defensively, they looked well yesterday. But I'm still searching for that dominant team. I think I found it in the Philadelphia Eagles, the way they play defense, even with the issues, the injuries on the back end. That front seven, they get after everyone. It'll be an excellent game, I think, again tonight, going up against Washington, who they defeated at the beginning of the season. But definitely on the AFC side, the Patriots are there. You definitely have to believe in them. And it looks like their defense has figured some things out. Kyle Van Noy, who a guy I loved coming out of BYU a number of years ago, went to Detroit and now, of course, is with the Patriots. He was fantastic, snuffing out that fourth down play on the goal line versus the Falcons last night. And to that point, you get on the goal line and you're trying that type of razzle dazzle.
Oh, Taylor Gabriel, jet sweep.
Yeah,
really, fourth and one.
You got to lean on the big boys up front. Hey, you're getting paid to block. You're getting paid to be physical at the point of attack. We're going to at least try to knock these guys off the ball and get 1 yard and get a touchdown. And they couldn't even do that. Now, no. That play call, I have an issue with.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think most people did. It was anything like that when you're a fan of a team will drive you absolutely nuts. Because if you get stuffed, it's one handoff up the middle, whatever, something like that. You're like, okay, well, our offensive line got blown back, and credit to the defense for stuffing them, whatever. But when you don't get it on something like that, it'll drive you mad. And as we don't know what's going on in the NFC, it feels like the AFC is rounding back into shape with the teams that we expected to be there. You've got the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Chiefs at the top of their division, and then more slop in the AFC South, and one of those teams will be able to figure it out. And maybe there'll be a good one at the end of the year, but there's been a lot of inconsistency in that division once again. The Jaguars are up and down. One week they're great, one week they stink. The Tennessee Titans were just embarrassing yesterday at Cleveland. I don't know how you can possibly play that bad at Cleveland. They didn't deserve to win that game.
Oof, Cleveland. Oof.
Oh, gosh. And they almost won.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how bad the Titans play. They sleptwalked through that game. But you had a big game in the AFC North between the Bengals and the Steelers, two teams that can't stand one another. And the Steelers' offense looked damn good. That Steelers' defense are a balanced team. But, of course, more drama after the game once again. So do you remember the Martavis Bryant stuff last week, where he requested a trade, and then he didn't request a trade, and then he did request a trade, and then all the Steelers in the locker room were laughing about it because the report was ridiculous? Well, guess what happens after the game yesterday via the comment section on Martavis Bryant's Instagram? Someone says in his comment section, "Juju's better." Now, if you don't know, Juju Smith-Schuster, the rookie wide receiver, he's 20 years old, has had a big role in this offense.
Wide open yesterday. Let him by, Sheriff. I know him. He scores a touchdown.
So, Martavis writes to the person who says Juju's better, "Juju is nowhere near better than me, fool. All they need to do is give me what I want, and y'all can have Juju and whoever else.
Yeah, ain't nobody help me get back here but me.
Yeah. Ain't nobody love you better."
Yeah, that was difficult reading his comments.
Oh, man. So you would assume that y'all give me what you want and y'all could have Juju means that he is indeed requesting a trade. And I'm sorry, but, and he can say anything about, you know, him getting him back, and that's great, and it was commendable, and we actually turned and said, you know, this guy, he had that interview before the season, and, you know, rooting for him, and it's a misstep, maybe he's going to have a great NFL career. The fact that, you know, this team has won back-to-back games against the Chiefs and the Bengals, they're finally rounded into shape. And they try to. They say that Martavis is going to have a bigger role in the offense this week. It didn't really happen for him. They forced a couple balls to him down the field. But the fact that this guy, in back-to-back weeks after wins against big AFC opponents, is bitching about a trade demand after getting suspended for 20 games in his young NFL career is a total joke, and the Steelers should get rid of him as soon as humanly possible because I think he's a horrible influence on the rest of that locker room.
I said last week when we first broached this topic that he should be thankful that he busted his butt, whether he had no support or he had support, to be back in the league, and you just have to sit there, bide your time. Yes, they had to move forward and go find another wide receiver. Maybe Juju Smith-Schuster is the future. Who knows? But you need to quit sitting there bitching and moaning and just go continue to work hard, focus on what you can control. I know you only had 2 targets yesterday. I know you only had 3 yards, I believe. And on the season, 17 receptions, 1 touchdown, about 230 receiving yards. But this is not helping. It is not helping whatsoever. Be happy you're back in that damn huddle. You're getting to do something you love to do. You worked hard to recover from your missteps. Now you're back there, and if you think this is the right route to go, you are wrong, no pun intended. And maybe they will fulfill his wishes and try to trade him. Now, when you get somewhere else, are you going to have the same demeanor, the same behavior? It's just a ridiculous approach by Martavis Bryant. Man, look from where you've come. Look what you were dealing with. You're sitting on your ass watching these guys play. Now you're in uniform, and while you're not gaining as much attention from your quarterback as you would like, you're in the damn huddle. And this is not new. We've seen receivers throughout time that wanted more targets, and you know, but you go about it the wrong way, and then to take shots at the rookie who's out there just trying to find his way in the NFL, that's wrong. He tried to clear that up later and saying that Juju has a bright future and all this. It was just too late. You know, the two paces out of the two. Just be quiet, man. And if you do want to trade, go about it quietly. Go to the front office and say, hey, I don't think it's working out here for me. I think it's time for me to move on. I don't want to be a distraction. So can you assist me in my efforts to do that? But don't go to social media posting all that stuff. You're being so derisive in that locker room. Just bad look on his part.
What scares me is, you know, that he's talked to people around him and have expressed these frustrations before he's gone public with it. And there has to have been at least one or two people around him that said, listen, man, you weren't playing last year.
Thank you.
You're on the field now. You have to look at it that way. And he still hasn't gotten it. And this isn't the first time that he's had an issue with Juju Smith-Schuster and him being there. On draft day, someone tweeted him that that's your replacement. He said, no, that's Wheaton's replacement. Now, he ended up being right about that because they got rid of Wheaton and whatever. But, I mean, he's clearly sensitive about that stuff.
Give in to that stuff. To hell with those folks on the periphery who don't know what's going on inside that facility. You just worry about what you can control. No one was even talking about you because you've been gone. You missed a whole damn season. Now you're back.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why that doesn't resonate. All you have to do is look back a few months, man. You could practice, but you couldn't even play.
And how about in this game, Vontaze Burfict, who's got a history the Pittsburgh Steelers, on the Steelers' first offensive drive, is on his back and then gets up by kicking Roosevelt Nix, the fullback, in the face mask.
With both feet.
Yeah, bam, kicks on the first drive.
Points.
Right, like it was him. I mean, that guy. Now, later in the game, I will have to say, later in the game, the two of them had like a moment where even this is a fourth quarter and ended up hugging it out or whatever. So, like,
that's. My bad, though.
I guess that's progress.
I can't control my.
But this guy is just.
He can't get right either.
He's not. He's got to be the worst.
Yeah, Grayson Allen from Duke?
Yeah.
Maybe they're kindred spirits or something.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. If you want to join the show. We've got so much to get to. Baseball, college football.
No, we're not talking about baseball.
More NFL. Jim Leland joins us in an hour and 20 minutes from now. But right now, if you got some pain, well, listen to Brian.
That's right. Here to talk to you again about Relief Factor. Maybe like me, you were a high school superstar athlete. I was. Then I got bad. Or maybe you were a professional athlete. I was that too. Either way, I'll bet you have some aches and pains that are making your life miserable right now. Hard to get out of a chair, hard to golf or play tennis, or even walk up and down the stairs. You don't have to be an athlete to have pain, neck, back, shoulder pain, or hip and knee pain. Even general muscle aches and pain can be a bummer. This is why I'm so happy with Relief Factor, a 100% drug-free way to lower or even eliminate pain. Sure has worked for me and my pain. I take Relief Factor 3 or 4 times a day. Matter of fact, I told the boss man last week, order me some more of that Relief Factor. I need it because I love it. It works for me. It has eliminated pain in so many areas of my body. So here's what I suggest you do. Like tens of thousands of other athletes and non-athletes have already done. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. I'm pleased to announce that for all of October, the owners of Relief Factor, they're donating $5 of each 3-week quick start to children in need. Go to ReliefFactor.com to order now. That's ReliefFactor.com. Maybe you're skeptical like I was. Well, I'm not skeptical any longer because I'm out of pain and you will be too. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
Talk to Gio and Jones now. 855-212-4CBS.
Andrew Bogish is here. And he is fresh off a national television appearance.
Mm-hmm.
One that I watched most of. The rest is on DVR.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a review.
Okay. Uh-oh. I recorded it, but I haven't watched.
Shocking.
Yeah, I was there. I watched it live. I actually made sure I was home when it was on.
Dang.
I based my day around watching Andrew Bogish at 4 o'clock.
Television.
I did.
I'm blushing.
Andrew Bogish.
I did.
Wow.
And I meant to text him that day, but then we had other things, and I was like, you know, I'll just see him on Monday. But he got on that panel on MLB Network, with Dan O'Dowd, mm-hmm. some guy I never heard of, Carlos Pena, and him.
Mm-hmm.
And he acted like he was there for the last decade. Slid right in, was good, was relaxed, made good points. The guys around him said, to Andrew's point, like he was setting the tone with the topics.
There you go.
Wasn't nervous at all.
As I always say, act like you belong. Yeah.
I tell you, man, I was impressed. That was really good.
I even kissed the makeup woman. I went with you to the nth degree.
There you Andrew go. Burgess.
Boy, I'm going to be Brian.
There you go.
Yep.
It worked, didn't it?
We'll see.
So how did you, how did you feel when you left there? Were you happy, relaxed? You going through the weekend like I did it? Or, oh, man, I shouldn't have said this or done that?
I never liked the way I perform. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Did you watch it when you went home?
No, I watched one. They sent me a clip to have. I asked for a particular segment, and I watched a little bit of it. I don't know. I'm not the best judge of me, but I had a really good time. I thought I was going to like throw up or fall off my chair in the first segment. But I was telling you in the break, like we were just in the room kind of BSing about nonsense, and all of a sudden the show just started.
Right.
So it like saved me from sitting there being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm not a big TV guy, like staring there, looking at the camera, fake smiling. That's just not the way I feel
comfortable. Don't look at the camera.
Well, that's what. It was a regular show that just happened to be on TV. So right. It kind of fit my, I avoided my TV paranoia.
Anybody else see it? We know Brian did not see it. You guys watched?
Missed it.
You didn't see it, Mike. You were on a trip, right?
Mike's grandma apparently is a big fan of MLB Network.
Really?
So I'm waiting for her feedback.
Wow.
Yeah, I called her on my drive. She's like, I watch that show every day. So I'll get her review for you later.
That's cool.
Pete, did you watch your buddy?
Yes, he was very good.
All right, good.
Very collected and had good points and new stuff.
All right, very good. Look at Pete. You even got a positive Pete.
I have about that.
Yeah.
You need to go on there more often.
Yeah, seriously.
Cheer him up.
All right, Bogus. Well,
good for you.
Back to reality now.
Well, negotiations continue. That will be network. I'm here.
Yeah. So no more episodes appearances, I should say?
Nothing confirmed, but they were asking me about when I'm available for the offseason, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you got me for now. So be nice. You mentioned this briefly back to top of the show. How about those fighting Anthony Lynns?
Eckler in the backfield. Looking left, underneath, Travis Benjamin with the catch, first down and then some, 30, 25, right sideline, one man to beat, 5, touchdown Chargers, knock on wood, Travis Benjamin with his second score of the day.
I don't know what that means.
I
heard there are other two touchdowns, he didn't say it, so maybe that has some contextual reference at
maybe
that moment.
Maybe it's no flags?
I have no idea. Uh-huh. That's Matt Money Smith on Chargers Radio.
Money Smith. Oh, that's Petros and Money?
Yeah.
Okay.
Travis Benjamin also had a 65-yard punt return touchdown. The Chargers winning in beautiful Carson, California for the first time, 21-0 over the Broncos. They've won 3 straight overall. Denver, meanwhile, shut out for the first time since November of 92. Trevor Siemian picked off once and sacked 5 times. The Patriots smothered the Falcons in Foxborough on Sunday Night Football, 23-7. Atlanta's lone touchdown coming with 4:09 to go. 2 touchdown passes from Tom Brady. Ezekiel Elliott with 147 yards and 2 scores on the ground, plus a 72-yard TD reception as the Cowboys steamrolled the Niners 40-10. Dallas safety Jeff Heath had a kick after Dan Bailey injured his groin the first half. He had 2 of 3 PATs, becoming the first non-kicker to make multiple extra points in the same game since current Packers GM Ted Thompson was an Oilers linebacker in 1980. Now, I paid no attention to this game. Why didn't the punter kick? Isn't that
normally was a question. That was a question in the game. He wasn't qualified.
I guess not. I know. That was the first thing I thought of. I guess he couldn't do it, and they felt better with this guy, had more experience.
Yeah.
Because he kicked off, too.
Right. Well, the first one, the first extra point banged off the upright, and then the
That's
second one.
That's the way he planned it, man.
Right. His second one was just a total mess. Like, just an absolute joke. So.
The Seahawks down the Giants 24-7. New Orleans a 26-17 win in Green Bay. Jacksonville blanked Indy 27-0, getting 10 sacks for the second time this season. And the Steelers handled the Bengals 29-14, delighting head coach Mike Tomlin.
As the game wore on, we made the necessary plays, really in all three phases. And so, tip of the cap to the guys in the locker room. They understood the significance of a good performance today, and they delivered it.
The Bengals had just 19 yards in the second half. Off the injury report, Cardinals QB Carson Palmer could miss the rest of the season after breaking his left arm in a 33-0 loss to the Rams in London. Dolphins QB Jay Cutler may have broken a rib in a 31-28 victory over the Jets. Cutler very much in doubt for Thursday night in Baltimore. And Browns left tackle Joe Thomas may have suffered a season-ending torn triceps. He had played 10,363 straight snaps since being the third pick in 2007. The Timberwolves stealing a 115-113 win at OKC last night on a long buzzer-beating three from Andrew Wiggins. Karl-Anthony Towns set the screen that got Wiggins free. And then said this.
We've always found ways to win. And, you know, regardless, whatever it may be, you know, we always find someone's always hitting a game-winning shot. So that's one great positive we've had through this whole offseason is finding ways to win.
I don't know what he's talking about. They won only 31 games last year. Yeah. And what did they win in the offseason with buzzer-beating shots?
Practice.
The summer league?
They practice it. I don't know what he's talking about.
That's a guy who just wants that interview to be over. He's thinking about something else, right? You know, he's thinking about what he's going to eat, like where his girl is.
Maybe he's foreshadowing. He's maybe like, more to come.
Yeah, we always do that. Buzzer Beat, we just always, you know, we practice it. Awesome.
The Dodgers will use the same rotation for the World Series as they did for the NLCS. We already knew Clayton Kershaw would get game one tomorrow night. Then it's Alex Wood in game two, Yu Darvish and Rich Hill Friday and Saturday in Houston. Astros bench coach Alex Cora is officially the Red Sox new skipper. Cleveland pitching coach Mickey Callaway, reportedly the next Mets manager. And Notre Dame's in the AP college football top 10 for the first time this season, number 9, after pasting USC Saturday night. The top 8 teams unchanged from a week ago, including Alabama, again, a unanimous number 1. Boys?
All right, Bogus, thanks. 855-212-4CBS. Tweet Bogus if you watched MLB Now or live, and let him know what you thought about his performance. It's at Andrew Bogus or something like that. Charlie's in Pennsylvania on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening, Charlie?
Oh, I've had better days, but I want to know from you all what you think about Cleveland Browns versus the Atlanta Falcons. Which team is more under the torture chamber today?
Well, I mean, the Falcons probably, just because the Browns, this is a recurring theme. Like, yeah. It's every single year.
The Browns are used to this. They live in the pit of misery.
And why is you having a terrible day, Charlie? Yeah. Is it sports-related or something worse?
No, I mean, I'm a Falcons fan. I live in western Pennsylvania with all these Steelers fans. But
oh, yeah.
I had to watch that nonsense last night. But I thought of a couple of memes for Falcons fans. One was, I think there was a time when a coach was asked, what do you think of the execution of your players?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm in favor of it.
I'm all for it. John, the great John McKay, former USC and Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach.
Yeah, I forgot who. Thank you for reminding me who that was, but I think that's appropriate tonight. I mean, the Falcons just, except for Julio Jones's catch in the very end of the game, I mean, they managed to make themselves even look worse than last February.
They ran into a nasty defense, a defense for Matt Patricia.
Put your seatbelt on, Charlie. Yeah, jeez, come on, man. Be careful.
Hopefully
out
he
there.
Was getting out of the car.
Yeah.
They ran into a defense that was fired up, and they came out and played like the defenses of the past, like that defense that played in the second half that didn't allow Atlanta to score in the Super Bowl. So they're finding their legs on that side of the ball, are the Patriots. And with all this offensive firepower, it's amazing that Matt Ryan, as well a player, as good a player as he is, the reigning MVP, cannot get the ball to those guys. And they had no running game to speak of. That's another thing. And as a quarterback that likes to sit back there and you know, fire the ball around, you would love that. Hey, this is great. I get to just sit back here and pick this defense apart. But he couldn't do it.
Yeah, and I think that it goes beyond just this Patriots defense figuring everything out, because we've seen them stall against – two teams, and the Bills defense isn't bad, and the Dolphins is not one of the worst in the league either, but they're at home, and it didn't matter. I mean, they were like matchup proof last year at home. Mm-hmm. No matter who they played, they were putting up big numbers. So this is a bigger problem, and as far as his original question, yeah, the Browns are a complete mess, and it's now just fuel to the fire with this Deshaun Kizer story And Joe Thomas goes out, his consecutive snap streak, that's a tough thing to say, consecutive snap streak it goes by the wayside, and it just was like a sad day for them. Yeah. But this is what the fall is for the Browns every single year. I mean, the Falcons should be running away with their division and heading back to another Super Bowl, where the Browns, I mean, if they had won two games by this point, would have been happy.
Yeah, now, did you see the tweet from Rich Gannon Sunday about the Browns? They have baseball guys picking football players.
Yeah.
Well, they had problems before Sasha Brown and his crew showed up with their
version. Sasha Brown.
Yeah. And his crew showed up with their version of analytics. So they were still mired in futility before they got the baseball players in there with their philosophy and way of doing things.
More on that pathetic situation.
Excuse me.
Yeah, not Sasha.
Sasha Brown somewhere?
Probably. Okay. I'm sure there's many
maybe
of them.
Maybe I know what Sasha.
Maybe you do. Yes, maybe that's your past we're talking about and not the Browns.
Hey.
Present.
We've hit a lot of game-winning shots in the offseason.
Yeah. But coming up next, we're going to talk some college football. What a day we had on Saturday.
Started off sucking.
There's nothing like a great overtime game and an exciting finish.
Oh, shut up.
Really, I was glued to the television. It was nothing like that, man. I tell you, a team's got an opportunity to win. Guy throws a pick.
I'm going to glue you something right now.
There's nothing better than that in
sports.
We
got some of that Gorilla Glue.
We're coming right back.
This is L.A. Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn, and you're listening to G.O. and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, I didn't have great logic when I picked USC. It was just one of those gut games. And although my gut is large,
you had great logic.
It was very wrong. My logic just was that because it's Notre Dame and now everybody's pumping them up, that they're going to lose. That was my only logic. There was no breaking it down. Because this team, after watching what they did to USC, I'm an idiot.
Well, no one was pumping them up. They were anticipating if they were able to run through the second half of the season with
they were
all
getting pumped up.
The big names on that schedule, they definitely would be in the playoff. That was it. And I thought they would win because of the running game, but I thought they'd have difficulty, but they had none.
Oh, my goodness. And that offensive line, they are gigantic.
Yep. They look
gigantic. I mean, I don't know how many NFL players are going to have on that when it's all said and done, but poof. And then you add Josh Adams to that. I mean, it's Alabama-esque, that running game.
And I said this Saturday, I thought the fact that they had lost to that fast, physical defensive line of Georgia, that was going to help them throughout the rest of this season. They've seen what one of the best in college football defensively can do. And if you don't learn from that, that's your fault. You only rushed for 55 yards versus Georgia. Everyone else, you've just plowed through, including USC. Now, USC had some guys hurt. They had some freshmen on that defensive line. They had their best nose tackle. It was banged up. So they had some attrition there. But still, I didn't expect all the turnovers, even though Darnold has had issues with the ball.
What is going on? I mean, right off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he understands it's a football, right? I mean, it's not like some sort of thing that's like 400 degrees.
You know you have to protect this, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I really liked that guy and was all over him and maybe still ends up being a great NFL quarterback. But he should, if the season ended right now, he needs to come back.
I would agree with that. And then I thought Wimbush coming back after sitting out the UNC game 2 weeks ago, coming back, I thought he had to become a better passer. And their first touchdown, what is it, pass to St. Equanimeous St. Brown. So he availed himself pretty nicely. The running game was there. And just an incredible win by Notre Dame. And now it continues to get tougher with NC State coming
in. Yeah, it definitely does. And I think that the scariest part about that Notre Dame offense is, you know, the running game is going to be there now. And Wimbush is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And if he continues to improve and he can run and he can throw the way that he does, that's going to be a really, really tough offense to stop. And it's also going to be a tough team to come back on. Like, if they get up on you, they're just going to push you and lean on you. And that's a very, very good team. So now what will happen is, now that I'm on Notre Dame.
Oh, don't do it.
Now they will.
Don't do it.
I mean, how could you not
don't
be after
do
that
it.
Game? What am I supposed to do? Look at that game and say it was a fluke? It was not.
It was a fluke, man.
It was not a fluke.
Take NC State.
Man, They were good. All right. Penn State. Saquon Barkley's going to win the Heisman unless something weird happens that's unexpected. I mean, this guy, the way he runs is so unique to me. Now,
bow-legged and clings over 500, 600 pounds. The guy has a great foundation in terms of his legs.
Right. The way that he could stop on a dime. Mm-hmm. And then also when he gets going in the open field, he almost like tilts a little bit forward to get that extra velocity. It's amazing watching that guy. And Michigan's just no match because they're just not.
No offense.
Yeah, they're not good enough offensively. Yeah. I mean, they can't do a damn thing. And their defense can only do so much to keep them in the game. And when you got a star player like that, it was only a matter of time before that game got out of hand, and it did.
Yeah, and I didn't see this blowout coming either. We have this sports line we use on the Tuesday Inside College Football Show. I think they said they had Penn State by 16. Like, you got to be kidding me. The game's going to be closer than that. And we chuckled when James Franklin said in his press conference last Monday that this is one of the most – we have one of the most potent offenses in college football. Well, it looked like it. The other night, I thought Trace McSorley would have to use his legs. He did. He was excellent in this ball game. Barkley was tremendous. And the way Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator, moves him around, he has a great feel for his firepower on that side of the ball. And he gets Barkley out in space. You get him out there with a linebacker, and he just blows by the linebacker, and he's juggling the ball after he dropped a catch. He juggles it and finally secures it in the end zone. He can do it all. He is a tremendous running back. This Heisman race is definitely tightening, and you know, Mayfield is still in there with his heroics in the game there in Little Manhattan versus Kansas State and Bryce Love, of course, and Barkley. Phenomenal. But Penn State's defense doesn't get enough credit. Going into that ball game, they were only allowing 9-10 points a game, and you see why, because they're ferocious, and they have all those seniors back there on that in the secondary, a couple at the linebacker position. But coming up this week, it'll be a difficult. I don't know which way I'm leaning, and as far as Ohio State and Penn State, but yeah, that was an incredible environment and a hell of a win for Penn State. They got some revenge.
Yeah, James Franklin was really feeling himself after the game. I mean, he was doing this whole bit. I don't know if you saw the interview on the field after the game, but he's doing this whole thing like, you know, we're going to enjoy this for 1 hour. He goes, what time is it? And they're like, oh, it's about 10, whatever, 50-something, 11. It's like 1 hour we'll enjoy this. And then who we play next week? Like, he started doing this whole thing. Like, you know, like, who? I don't know who we're playing, but we'll get after it. Like James, man.
Just, I like Coach Franklin.
I really, really like him, but be careful. Just yeah. Be careful, all right?
Yeah. That karma, G.
Yeah, don't
that
get...
Karma gets you. He knows who they're
don't
playing.
Don't be peacocking too much, Jimmy.
That's his way. He was doing the same thing when he was at Vanderbilt.
I know.
You jerk.
No, you're a jerk.
Oh, I tell you, that's going to be something. If the big fella over there next door on FAN Francesa heard that James Franklin post-game interview, he'll get on him again.
You're a jerk.
There's no doubt about it.
Well, good.
But he can do it right now. He can do it. Nobody can say anything to him. Right now, and what a finish, man, to Oklahoma State, Texas.
Oh, shut
just
up.
An amazing, I mean, edge of your seat type stuff. Just beautiful football. And, of course, we had, everybody had that as a 13-10 game, right? Everybody.
Right.
Everybody had that.
Of course.
I mean,
sure they did. What was the line on that?
It was 7. Yeah. It was Oklahoma State minus 7, and right. I took Oklahoma State. Of course, I lost that pick, too. Mm-hmm. I lost almost every pick this week.
I thought that there was no way that this Texas defense, the way they've been allowing receivers to run free and tight ends, Mark Andrews, Oklahoma, 2 weeks ago, no way that they were going to be able to shut down James Washington, Jalen McCleskey, Auden Tate. Well, not Auden Tate. That's Florida State. But Aitman. Marcel Aitman. There's no way they're going to shut these guys down.
And
they got
did.
After Mason Rudolph. They shut those cats down. Jalen McCleskey dropped a sure touchdown there in the middle of the field. I tweeted at his dad because his pops played with me in New Orleans. And there's no way you taught him to do that. But it was a phenomenal performance by the Texas defense. Where the hell did that come from? And where has it been? You know, we've seen some snippets of that from time to time, but the fact that they covered up all these guys, other than the one McCleskey dropped, But offensively, it can't be all Ehlinger. And it was, once again, as far as the running game. And then, just, and I said this a couple weeks ago, yes, he's the guy. He should be the starter, but he's a freshman. He's going to make freshman mistakes. And that was a freshman mistake.
That's a disgusting throw.
In overtime. Just throw it away. If you're going to throw it away, throw it away.
So bad.
Oh,
I don't know
bad.
What throw was worse, that one or the Josh McCown throw in the fourth quarter of Jets Dolphins. Both those throws are lingering.
Back to back
this Monday, lingering stench on Monday. Those two throws.
I'll tell you which was
just
worse.
Just atrocious.
Ellinger's.
Well, yeah, they were both really, really bad Ehlinger. In terrible spots.
Yeah.
I mean, just big. Both cost them games.
Heart.
Naturally. But and Tom Herman said, I don't know when we're going to be able to break through, and I thought this was going to be it. I mean, there's no moral victories, especially in a place like Texas.
No.
But I didn't think he needed to be that like crestfallen.
Yes, he did. You had the game. You were right there. You shut down a team.
It's a work in progress.
Top 10 team. Work in progress, my ass.
It's been a work in progress. Texas has been so bad.
Oh, I don't care. That's work in progress.
So bad. They got
ass.
A little step. Baby steps.
No baby damn steps.
Baby steps,
three
man.
And four.
You'll get there at some point,
whatever.
But baby steps.
Should have been there Saturday.
Yeah, they weren't, though. Played a good game against a good team. Take that defense. You put it in your back pocket. Go, all right. We're taking baby steps. We'll get there.
Whatever.
We'll get there one day.
Ugh.
That past glory that we once were able to realize it once again.
You hang on to that. That's what Tennessee's hanging on to right now. Yeah, we'll get there.
Jimbo Fisher got in an altercation with a fan.
Did you call it that? Just a back and forth?
Okay.
Verbal altercation?
A back and forth with a
Come
fan.
Come down here and say that. Yeah.
So as he's leaving the field, someone is yelling at him as he's going into the tunnel, new coaches, new coaches. So he stops and he looks up into the crowd and starts yelling back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after the game in his post-game news conference, he addressed this and he said that, you know, he get frustrated and he wants the fans to stick by the team.
No, not frustration. Just, hey, don't just be support. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason to be nasty. I shouldn't have said something.
So just biff support.
Listen, he was frustrated. That's why he said, bring your ass down here and say it to my face. He was frustrated. And nothing wrong with being frustrated. He should be frustrated. You're talking about not playing well defensively, and I know you're taking on Lamar Jackson, who's the Heisman Trophy winner, reigning Heisman Trophy winner, but still, they gave that game away. James Blackman getting sacked there and fumbling and allowing Louisville to recover and ultimately kick the game-winning field goal. Yes, he was frustrated. They haven't been this bad, I think, since Bobby Bowden's first year or next, and then his last year, 09, 08, something like that.
And let's listen to more Jimbo here because we love listening to Jimbo.
Yes, we do.
Are you going to be a loyal fan or not? Just keep fighting with us. We ain't quitting on you. Please don't quit on us. We're going to keep fighting, scratching, coaching, playing. And you see the heart and desire of those kids. And understand something. What if that's your kid? If that was one of your kids or your nephew or your cousin or your friend. Keep supporting them.
Right. Well,
that's
Jimbo. Listen, it's not.
I'm off the train at that point.
It's not my kid. It's not my kid. It's not my nephew. I'm a fan. All right. I'm into it. I want to see him win. Just don't give me that stuff.
I think that was wrongheaded for the fan. Get new coaches, maybe for our offensive line. Yeah, because Coach Trickett, as much as he's been heralded, he hasn't done anything with this O line the last few years. So definitely, you need to find a new approach there. But, you know, aside from that, to say get new coaches, I'm not down with that.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, it's the drunk, probably, fan screaming at a coach. Like, I mean,
and he wasn't trying to
stop that in the future,
exactly.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
wasting your time.
Earmuffs, Jimbo, go into the tunnel, work on trying to get in a win. How about that? As opposed to stopping and arguing with, you know, balloon head.
Yeah. That rep boys got to Alabama, didn't it?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
right.
That rep boys, it worked.
We didn't even get to that. But guess what? Lines are open. We'll tell you how to talk to one of the greatest men in college football.
I'm just
the
trying to be
expert analyst, Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.